Let's go. They've got everything. Everything caravan and camping. Let's go. They've got everything.
Yeah, very good day and great to have you with us for our Everything Caravan and Camping podcast sponsored by ECC Parks. I'm Scotty Hillier from Channel 7 and we look forward to taking you to a different destination around this great country of ours every week. Now, we're going to get you there safely with our weight and towing masterclasses. We've also got tech tips. Now, we're going to chat with influencers and we're also going to chat with you, the listeners. And I'm looking forward to that. We want to hear your questions. We want to hear if you're out and about, where you've been. And every week, we're going to chat to the greatest chef ever given an open fire and a set of tongs. None other than the great Harry Fisher from Fire to Fork. I'm pretty pumped. Let's get into it. Come on. ECC, it's a 24/7 marketplace for all things caravanning, camping and 4x4. Now, with more than 10,000 products available from hundreds of popular brands, you'll find everything you need for your next outdoor adventure. Don't forget, subscribe to the newsletter and save a further 10% off the best brands, products and prices. They're only a click away.
Come on. Let's go. Everything caravan and camping.
Oh, weight towing masterclasses, I think of Dave Lewis. How are you, my friend?
G'day, Scotty. How are you today?
Good, mate. Have you been out wetting the line? I know you don't mind a sneaky bit of fishing. I know I get paid to go fishing. I get the best job ever.
Yeah, I know. You have got the best job. Actually, just got back from a couple of weeks down at Evans Head. Didn't do too well on the fishing, but had a lot of fun trying.
That's why it's catching, not fishing, or fishing, not catching, whatever they say.
That's
but
exactly right.
As long as you enjoy it, cast a rod, sitting there holding maybe a cold beverage in one hand and the rod in the other. Can't beat it.
That's the plan, mate. That is the plan.
Hey, mate, we're going to talk stats today. I know you guys travelled, especially in 2023, you guys travelled the state doing van safe, and people listening just want to be safe on the roads. We keep hammering it in, overweight, this, that, make sure the caravan's in good nick. And you've got a couple of stats you can share from what you found and the most common problems people had, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, Scotty. So VanSafe was an initiative of Caravan in Queensland, or has been for a couple of years now. So last year, we stepped it up a little bit. We went to 15 venues through the state, from Cairns all the way through to Brisbane during the year. VanSafe was actually funded by a grant from the state, Queensland State Government, run by Caravan in Queensland, and the VanSafe team comprised six of us, and we go to all those venues. We do presentations at all the venues on weight and towing masterclass, similar to the ones we do at the Caravan in Queensland caravan shows.
Yep.
And we also, last year, were lucky enough to have Queensland Transport supply us with transport inspectors in just about most of those venues where people could go online with Caravan in Queensland, register their interest, and then they could bring their car and caravan down and we'd weigh their car and caravan. Obviously, there's no infringement notices or anything like that. It's purely voluntary.
I bet you could have given some out, though, when people turn up.
Well, we did say, exactly right.
But it's not about that. Yeah, it's education.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, for instance, in Cairns, I think we did roughly 80 caravans in 2 days up there, but there was a lot more people on the waiting list to get it done. So we're limited to as to how many we can do in a day. But people were rocking up there and we're giving them a whole heap of information. We're obviously checking all their weights, but we were also doing a lot of other checks when they rolled into the venue. We were doing just checking things like their breakaway system on their caravan, their tow ball nut. And interesting enough, out of those, we did 1,106 caravan and car combinations at those 15 venues. Out of those 1,106, we had about 25%, a quarter of those cars and caravans that we weighed, we've noticed that the tow ball nut was loose.
You're kidding. The little nut underneath
the tow ball. So that's something that we as caravans, we probably don't check enough. But we had a system whereby we checked that tow ball nut, and if we considered it loose enough to get about a quarter of a turn on a shift, and then we marked it down as loose. So just things like that.
Wow. The sad case with that, Dave, is if that comes undone, you lose your tow ball. You're gone.
That's right. You've got the world's best caravan and the world's best car all held together by a $35 bit of steel where the nuts got done up and up. But that was just one thing that stood out.
And I jump in, Dave, to say, like, when people are on a 3 week, 4 week, 6 week, that's something that should be checked every couple of stops, shouldn't it? Because they rattle loose, I'm guessing. They can.
That's right. Yeah, they do. So once they're tightened up, they should be good for a fair while. But if that spring washer underneath of it has spent its last day, then it can start unwinding. And that was just something we decided we'd start looking at. And when we started looking at it, it was quite amazing what we saw. And we even had a couple, might have been about half a dozen, where the table nut was actually finger tight. Just little things like that.
Very important.
But the other thing, of course, is out of that 1,106 we weighed, 52% of those cars and caravan combinations had at least one compliance rating that they were over. So whether it be an overweight car or an overweight caravan or they exceeded the ball weight capacity or whatever, there's six ratings that we check. So, like I say, more than half of those 1,100 odd had at least one rating that was over the manufacturer's rating. And then also some of those car and caravan combinations might have been over three or four of those ratings. But so I do think it's definitely changing. 6 years or 7 years ago when I first started, it was around about 63% of the caravans I weighed were overweight. Now, last year, for instance, it's down to about less than 30%. Yeah. So I think the message is getting out there.
Yeah, 6 or 7 years ago, 10 years ago, who weighed their caravan, to be honest? Like, really? Like, you just thought, the van's good, it's in good nick. It's good that there's so much focus now on it, but, geez, I remember with my old man, weigh a caravan, 37 cartons of 4X gold in the back and fishing gear and crab pots, and we had a 12-foot Bondwood caravan. I'm surprised. But it just wasn't something that they did. You just hook her up and off you go. Now you realise just how bad that was because it's other people on the road. It's yourself. There's all these other things. But it's good now because, as you said, post-COVID, it's more and more popular. And I did read recently, might have been on the news just not too long ago, how they're looking at maybe doing a driving course or some sort of thing for people towing vans. I don't know whether you saw that recently, Dave.
Yes. Yeah, I did see that. So the talking towing team's made up of myself, Gary Gardner from Total Towing, Jeff from Towet. Jeff does he does driving courses for caravan and something that he's been pushing for a long time. And I sat in on one of his courses a few years ago and when you see the information that he gives to his customers, there's lots of things in there, just little things that I picked up on, and I thought, gee, I didn't really know that. So
Dave. I did one on Creek to Coast with him. Yeah, and
you did too.
Yeah, he got me reversing. I think I ran over 9 of the 10 witches hats, but you know those little things, like even backing your van in. We all go, huh? But some parks do it for you, but other if you get in at 4 or 5 during happy hour and there's 30 people watching Oh, there's nothing worse. They're all having a shardy.
Right. Yeah, that's right. So you jump in your car and you've probably got around about a bit under 3 tonne of car driving down the road. But then when you put another 3 tonne or 3.5 tonne caravan behind it, you're now driving down the road double that weight at about 6,000 kilos or 6 tonne. So all your skills as a driver change and all your reactions change because you're now got so much more weight and you've got two vehicles attached. So I think there is a push to encourage people to do a driving course specifically designed for caravans.
Yeah. And also watch this space on the website. You guys could be up and going Western Queensland up to Northern Queensland again with your van. Yeah, so people just keep their eyes and ears open. It could be happening.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. About middle of the year sometime. I think where the plan is to try and go for about a 2-week trip out there and do our presentations at a number of venues. It is nomad season out there and there's lots of caravans between Brisbane and Longreach and things like that. So watch your space. Caravan will be on the Caravan in Queensland website.
Lovely, Dave. And how can people get in touch? If they want to give you a bell, ask you a question, get you to come out to their home and weigh their van?
Yeah, Scotty. So the company's called WeightCheck. It's mobilecaravanweighing.com.au or our number is 0477 89 7700. We operate in Brisbane, the Gold Coast, Toowoomba, Warwick, Coffs Harbour and the Northern Territory in Darwin.
Yeah, good stuff, good stuff. All right, Dave, always good to chat, mate. Take care.
Thanks, Scotty. Talk to you soon.
That's that time of the podcast, Tech Tip Time with the great man, Charlie. How are you, brother?
Not bad yourself, mate.
Yeah, good. I've been getting out and about. What about you? How's the little bub? You must be ready for two. She must be ready for two.
Honestly, between our last conversation and this one, you wouldn't recognise it.
Yeah, just growing 100 miles an hour. Yeah.
That's it. And it's changing every day, and I was away for a week, and I feel like I missed a lifetime.
Yeah, there you go. There you, whether you've got twins or triplets next, and then another one, you're just shaking your head, aren't you? No, Scotty, no. Hey, mate, you've got some pretty exciting stuff happening in your world in terms of new releases and things coming out. We're going to talk about the Rec series in the fridges. Tell us more about this.
Oh, mate, our tech team and our product team has been flat chat for the last few months. And with that, we've now launched our brand new recreational series. It's okay. Our new 16 and 20 fridges.
Okay. And what brand, Charlie?
My Coolman fridges, naturally.
Yeah, of course. So 15 and 20. So describe them for us.
So if you were looking right at it, you would honestly think they are an Esky. Yep. But once you look to the side, you're going to see a nice little neat compact compressor in there. And it is so efficient and awesome. And I'm absolutely loving the new one. I've got the 20. I'm looking at it right now in the back of my new Ranger. Yep. And I have to say, game changer.
Wow. And what? And tell us why it is a game changer. You have been in this game for a long time, and you've seen plenty of them. What is it about this Rec series that you're thinking, wow, this is a game changer?
It's actually taken the portable fridge to the next level. Yep. So now it not only, like, our whole my cooling range is portable, but this is literally pick up and go, fully loaded.
Wow.
Battery pack magnetized to the side, so it literally is a portable iceless Esky.
Wow. So this battery pack is what blows me away. So how many hours are we talking? People thinking, all right, we got this little battery pack. So, tell me more. How long could we, is it keeping things cool?
So on the 15-amp battery pack, we've gotten 24 hours out of those fridges, which is just astronomical. So you can comfortably go away for a weekend.
Yeah, well, if you're going to a mate's barbecue and everyone...
And that's what I'm doing now. So traditionally, well, I've used my trusty 36-litre for years now as a barbecue fridge. And now the 20-litre has replaced it because it's even easier to carry. It's got an easy-to-go handle. It's a one-person job. So nice. We've got apps still. We've got 0.8 of an amp draw. So it's drawing next to nothing.
Yeah, wow.
And, of course, it's got all the great features of the my Coolman range. So we've got our battery protection. We've got our turbo mode. We've got still a whopping minus 18 of freezing capacity. And it's just
Well, how many beers does it fit? Do you know that off by heart?
It fits 24 mangoes in there, mate. 24 mangoes.
That's what I like. 24 mangoes and a couple of bananas because the body's a temple, Charlie. The body's a temple, my friend.
Yeah. If anyone's from Queensland, they'll know what a mango is.
Hey, mate, so where can people find them? Where can we have a look at them? Where can we check them out?
So we're launching back into our great independent stores of Australia wide again.
Yep.
And, of course, you can find everything on everythingcaravancamping.com.au.
Look at you, walking billboard. Charlie, always good to catch up, mate. We'll chat soon.
Awesome. Talk to you then, Scotty. Bye.
It's that time of the podcast where we catch up with our influencers, people that have made a bit of a difference in other people's lives. People like to follow them and watch them. And may I say, we have royalty on the show today. It is Paul and Katie from the Feel Good Family. How are you, team?
Hi, Scotty. Oh, if only everybody introduced us like that.
That is one intro.
That was impressive. But to be honest, as you know, I catch up with you, your team, regularly at a lot of caravan shows, and I meet a lot of influencers, people that have just new to it, but you guys are 4.5 years on the road. You are ridgy-didge influencers that are out there and doing it.
Oh, you're lovely. We're the veterans.
Yeah, veterans.
We're almost graying nomads, I think.
But I
we
guess,
are, mate.
Hey, Paul, and I love chatting to you about this because people listening are wondering, should we do it? Shouldn't we do it? Your backstory is fairly unique because you guys had no idea on what to expect and you'd done no caravanning really at all.
Look, you're spot on. We'd never even owned a tent. We hadn't even slept in one together.
nor had any interest to either.
Tell me how it came about.
Look, Katie and I, we actually met at Australia Zoo back in Steve Irwin Day, wrestling crocodiles. And so we love the outdoors, we love the wildlife, we love what Australia had on offer. But we really, it wasn't until we had a family plan to just pop out kids. And 4 years later, 6 rounds of IVF, nothing had happened. And we were struggling, mate. And then our little miracle, little Jasper Roo showed up. And that was it. That was our aha moment where we went, what are we doing? We're working our backsides off and we're not enjoying being a family.
Yep.
Kate said, what do you want to do with your life? I said, travel Australia and document it. Let's do it. Let's take a gap year.
Yep.
And that gap year turns into now
a
little extended gap year.
Yes.
Yeah, but
we
it's
never
also
look back, you know?
Yeah. Look at you guys go! But it's not only that; you're very strong on socials. You've actually got a little 6 or 8 part television series now on 7/2 documenting your travels at the moment over in South Australia. In your wildest dreams, Katie, could you ever seen yourself like how popular you are now 4.5 years ago. Can you believe it?
Oh, we can't, Scotty. We still pinch ourselves, to be honest. And we just love it. From being total newbies and not part of this industry at all, and to learning and making all the mistakes when we first set off, and to now we feel like being able to share what we do through the education, but also this amazing country with other people who may not be able to travel themselves. It's such a blessing.
Yeah.
And that we get to do it together as a family every day and call this our work. We just, we're so grateful for it.
So paint a picture for the people listening. How many times, have you done the lap a couple of times, or you've gone north, come home? How have you, you know, dissected the 4.5 years?
Our map's pretty crazy, Scotty, actually. Yeah. It looks like we let Jasper loose on it with a black marker.
I thought it'd be that, yeah.
Yeah, we've kind of zigzagged our way all around. We still haven't done the traditional big lap sticking to the coastline. We've done a figure eight and then lots of craziness. And that just seems to have been the way our travels have worked out, particularly over those years of COVID with different border restrictions and whatnot. And also, too, chasing stories and those towns that each have their own amazing piece of history or some great Aussie character that's got a story to tell. Yeah, it's very non-traditional, our map.
Yeah, and Paul, I guess travelling with Jasper and travelling 4.5 years, what have been the challenges caravanning? What did you learn after 6 months or 12 months? I thought, we're not doing it that way. Hop, we'll be changing that. Is there a couple of things, mate, that, you know, for people listening, that you learnt the hard way and the easy way and you've changed?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the first one is, no matter whether your kids need to go to the toilet or not, every time you stop, you make them weep. Because otherwise, you can guarantee that is going to be as soon as you pull out.
Like, yeah.
Oh, Dad, I need to go to the toilet.
And you're on the freeway. Yeah. Six lanes.
Yeah, that's what? That's a good point. As much as we laugh with kids, that's a good point. You're on the freeway doing 110 and there's nowhere to stop. So that is one good tip.
Yeah, look, I think lose some of your rules as well. Really allow that freedom to an extent. Jasper doesn't know any different. You know, he was 2 when we left. He's now 7. It was a month before his 3rd birthday. So he's an incredibly good travel companion.
Yep.
But having plenty of reading materials, we used the iPad as a bribe, to be honest, get the best out of him on our travel days. And he's a delight now to travel with. And we also, for parents, if there's parents out there or grandparents traveling with their grandkids, get them involved in the decision making. Let them see the map. Let them point to it. Even if you've made the decision of where you're going, get them involved in that process because they retain the information and they feel like they're a part of the journey.
Yeah, fantastic. And Katie, overloading caravans, we've had weight and towing masterclasses over the last few months talk to us about putting too much in the van. And it's easy to do, but you guys have got a few strict little rules that you run through to make sure you don't get too much. And I love how you've told me in previous interviews how you buy things in the little towns you go to. Support some of the little towns that need people to come in and buy things.
Absolutely, Scotty. And I think it's an easy mindset to take with you if you are setting off full-time or for a gap year. You come from living in a house with all the things and then you think we need to take all of those things with us to travel the country. And we learnt really early on through our own mistakes as well. Oh, we've got to take all of this stuff with us. And then when you do go and you get your vehicles weighed, which is something we'd recommend everybody do, it's a real eye-opener because you realise how much stuff actually weighs. Even those groceries, after you go and push the trolley and then putting those groceries into the van, there's so much weight there. So some things that we do, particularly with Jasper, and he'll tell you, we have a one-in, one-out rule. So if he wants to get a new toy or he wants to swap something out when we do have access to the storage shed that we still have with bits and pieces in it, anything he wants to bring in, something's got to go out of the van. And he's known that from day one.
Yeah, perfect. As long as you don't apply that to Paul, Katie. You know,
that's pretty funny. We
on
some good
on the card, mate. It's on the card.
No, never.
Always someone. We did get some good advice, actually, when we did our towing course before we set off on our full-time travels. And that was to put a sticky dot on everything that you put inside your caravan and take it off when you use it. And it's a really good indicator to see what you actually thought you need and what you actually do need and the differences there.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Hey, look, we could talk to you guys forever and ever, but we need to plug, obviously, all your socials, Paul, like you guys. But tell us a bit about the show. I know you're in South Australia now and the show's based all around that area. Tell us about your show on 7.2 or 7.Mate. Mate. 7.2, isn't it? Yeah, 7.2.
No, 7.2, but mate, it's the most underrated station in Australia. If we were here to talk about Queensland, you'd never get us off because we think it's the ultimate destination. Yeah. But now we've been here for 3 months. We filmed 6 drive itineraries, I guess, road trips that the South Australian Tourism Commission put out, and we focused on those, and we still barely scratched the surface. But getting those and partnering in with Channel 7 to bring them to 7.2 over the next 6 weeks has just been, wow, what a learning experience, but what an incredible journey we've had. This place has absolutely blown us away, and I don't mean just the wind. The coastline is out of this world. The seafood, mate, you know yourself, we've never eaten so much lobster and King George whiting in our life. We don't want to leave.
And for those listening and maybe think, oh, how do we catch up? If you have, if you've missed an episode, you can jump onto the app 7+ and you can, I'm sure, find all of your apps. Hey, mate, talk to us, Katie, about your socials. Where can people find you? I know you're on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram.
Yep, that's right, Scotty. And we're at the Feelgood Family on all of those channels, or just Google the Feelgood Family and you'll find us. Our website is thefeelgoodfamily.com. Something that we should mention, Scotty, is that we've got a heap of resources on our website, lot of free stuff for people who are starting out to have access to that information that we were struggling to find when we first set out as well, and some really great travel guides and e-books up there too for inspiration.
Look at you guys. You are an inspiration, you two, and little Jasper. Look, thanks for having a chat. Oh, I love catching up with you guys, and safe travels.
Thank you, Scotty.
Good on you, mate.
Catching up with you too.
You're a legend.
Oh, it's a favourite part of the podcast. I do love it all, but when you talk food and you can go home and trial it or hit the road and cook it, Harry Fisher, fired a fork. You are my man. How are you, buddy?
Going very well, mate. Going very well.
I guess everyone wants to know, how's the fam going? How's the newest edition?
Going
it's probably
well.
A little bit bigger now.
Yeah, he's nearly one. Oh, so no. He's going well. Going well.
Is he up and about? Up? Is he mobile?
Yeah, he's mobile, unfortunately.
Oh, that's funny. Is he old enough? I mean, one, I've got big boys too. Do you take him away? He's probably still a little bit young, isn't he, at one?
Yeah, we do, mate. We do. We're just picking up a caravan. And we take away the camper trailer and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But we've got a hybrid caravan as well with bunks and stuff. So that makes it a lot easier. And they love it.
Yeah.
They absolutely love it.
Yeah. Fantastic.
It's obviously hard work when you first do it.
Yeah, 100%.
It's parenting in a different and more difficult location, but it is good.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, mate, what are we cooking on the stove or over the fire today?
I think today we should make a pretty terrible steak taste good.
Oh, I am intrigued here because I can cook a bloody bad steak. This will be good.
So I think this is what all pubs should offer, I think, because it's a way of making, honestly, a pretty terrible steak actually decent. It's very cheap. It's a way of stretching it out.
Yeah.
So what you do, it's called a chicken fried steak, and it's not chicken, it's a beef steak. But the reason they call it chicken fried is because you treat it like a piece of chicken. So it's sort of your KFC style. It's really popular in the US, and for some reason we don't do it in Australia. But I tried it, and I've got to say, I was bloody impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you take your pretty average steak, but a small one, 150 grams to maybe 200 grams, and that'll be this is going to end up being a big meal.
Am I allowed to ask you, Harry, what's an average steak for you? Is a rump an average one, or what's...
Yeah, that sort of thing, but like a cheap kind of
cheap,
rump.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking $12 a kilo kind of thing.
Okay.
But this is literally like a $4 steak.
Yeah, okay.
So pretty average.
Yep.
This is not your Scotch fillet.
No.
You can obviously do it with Scotch fillet, but it would be an absolute atrocity. So you take quite a small one, or get a big one and cut it and do it for a few people, and you want to beat the hell out of it. So you want to bash it down to it, so it's about 3-4 mil thick.
Yep.
You use whatever you've got. I think the last time I did it, I just used like an insulated water bottle.
Yep.
And then you want to soak it in some buttermilk. And as we've said before, buttermilk is not butter.
Yeah.
It's actually just milk with a little bit of acid in it. So you take one cup of milk to one tablespoon of either lemon juice or vinegar.
Yep.
And you want to soak this thing in about probably 300 ml of buttermilk. And you soak that in there for anywhere from half an hour to overnight.
Yeah.
And that's going to break down the protein and make it actually very tender. Then we want to make up a little bit of a dry mix because, as I said, you're going to do this like fried chicken.
Yeah.
So the dry mix is 2 cups of self-raising flour, 1 tablespoon of garlic powder, 1 tablespoon of salt, and 1 tablespoon of pepper. Mix that up as, like I said, to get like a dry mix. And we're going to take the steak out and we're going to dunk it in that twice. So before we do that, sorry, you crack an egg into that buttermilk, and we're going to beat it up in there, and then you transfer the steak into that dry mix, and it's going to batter it. And then you're going to take it back out of the dry mix, back into the wet mix, and do it again. So we're going to do two coatings of batter.
Okay, love it.
So it's big, thick, battered thing. It ends up being about sort of 10, 12 mil thick.
Oh, yum.
It's a hell of a lot of Then you want to heat up your oil. So you get about a litre of oil. You want it about 5-6 mil deep in the pan, in just a skillet. 180 degrees. The way to figure out if it's the right temperature is just to chuck a stick in it. If the stick fizzes, it's hot enough.
Yep.
So you chopsticks or any kind of a wooden stick. Chuck it in there and it's going to fry up, and you basically just take it out when it's the right colour. The colour of fried chicken, the colour of a brown colour. I guarantee the steak will be cooked, and it'll be cooked, let's be honest, too much. This is never going to be medium rare because you're frying it.
Yeah.
But I don't know, because of all those tenderizing things, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
Yum.
Then you want to make some sort of a little gravy in there. So you take about 2 or 3 tablespoons of that oil that you just fried it in. Just chuck it in another pan, little bit of self-raising flour. Again, the same sort of mix, the dry mix. You can actually just use a bit of the dry mix you just did. So you've got a bit of the garlic powder, a bit of the salt, a bit of the pepper. Chuck that in there. Give it a little bit of a stir around till it's very roughly browned. And then you want to chuck in about 300-400 mils of that milk. Now, this only takes about 4 minutes.
Yep.
So you chuck in the milk, give it a bit of a stir till it's roughly consistent. So it's going to be this kind of thick. I'll be completely honest, it's not a great looking sauce. It's got a bit of oil in it.
Yeah, but it tastes bloody beautiful.
It's a very American sauce. It's what they serve with what biscuits and gravy, which is basically a muffin-y kind of thing. You chuck that on top of your steak, and it's got about 3,000 trillion calories. But good God, it's good.
Oh, I've pictured it too in a little, like a bread bun, or one of those soft buns with a bit of lettuce and like you could do anything with it.
Yeah. It's unreal. Yeah, absolutely. And I just don't understand why pubs don't do it, because you can go to any country pub in Australia and you can get a pretty crap steak and you pay a lot for it. And I just don't understand why they're not doing this, because it will tenderize any piece of meat that you chuck in there. So you can do the same thing with chicken or whatever.
But
I just think it just works. And people would just say this is just a schnitzel. It's not. Schnitzel's crumbed.
Yeah.
It doesn't taste anything like a schnitty or a parmy. It is a very much its own thing, and it is bloody good. I get it. I finally get it.
Yeah. Well, guess what the Hilliers are having for dinner tonight? I'm going straight out to do that. Hey, mate, look, it's always a pleasure. If you out there want to get hold of his book, Fight a Fork, Adventure Cooking, it's pretty simple. You need to jump onto the website, everythingcaravancamping.com.au. Harry Fisher, Fight a Fork, socials, YouTube, on the internet, you everywhere. You're pretty easy to track down.
I'm sure you'll be able to find me, mate.
Yeah, good on you, Harry. Always a pleasure, mate.
Cheers, mate. Good to see you.
Let's go. Okay, that time of the podcast where we feature an ECC park, and I'm caught here sitting next to me with Jason Filippini. How are you, mate?
Scotty, really good today.
Yeah.
A bit excited.
Yeah, you are. So, mate, Wiggins says, I think it's our last one.
It is our last one, hence I'm excited.
Yeah, I can't say that.
It's season one, so you know what?
Yeah.
We could have season two.
Or three.
Yeah.
And I heard a little rumour that last week we spoke about your Cotton Tree Park. We could even do it around your new venue.
We could indeed. We can go into the park, sit down, and you can watch us do it.
Yeah. But, mate, we featured a lot of parks over the last few months. We've had park managers, but you've taken the role of representing a lot of them. You manage 5 parks here. You're in regular contact with the ECC managers in Australia and New Zealand. The RV world and the travelling world, it's still going pretty strong, isn't it?
Oh, look, it really is, Scotty. Yeah. And I think at the end of our little series of episodes on parks, it's really good to just talk about and wrap up.
Yeah.
The whole caravanning industry and why people should get out there and really give it a really red hot crack.
So you live, eat and breathe it. What's your take on it? Why should people do it if they haven't done it? Why do people continue to do it? Is it about this
park? It's that lifestyle. It's that enjoyment. It's about getting back to basics. It's about community. You go to a park. If you stop for a night, you're so close to your next door neighbour, you say hello.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you make friendships for life.
Yeah.
It's generational. Like we spoke about in a few of our episodes, we have people that have been in these parks for 20, 50 years, and they've got their grandkids' kids coming.
Yeah,
and it's just amazing. And that whole Australian idea of getting out into the camping area, get out into the open spaces and do things.
Yeah.
It just resonates. And having these places around Australia and New Zealand where people can go and safely have a great experience.
Yeah.
They've got the amenities, they've got the toilets and the showers and all that sort of stuff,
yeah,
but they can still camp. There's no longer camping just out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
It's brilliant and people love it. So they are. Then I think the uptake right now for that style of holiday is just going through the roof. And it's really on our listeners to go, it's now time to hit the road, go and find somewhere, go and experience what is unique to Australia, and people from all over the world want to come and do it because it is that good.
Yeah, and I know you talked to me about, in terms of families, seeing the kids not on their phones, not on their laptops, not on their computers. They're out in the park. They're out playing with other kids, like we used to as we, when 100%. We were kids. And that also is a big thing on your agenda. I know you love, you put a smile on you, you look at all the kids running around it, they're not carrying bloody phones and all that stuff.
100%, 100%.
And that's part of it.
Yeah, it's part of it. It's just getting back to basics. It's family fun, good family fun. And you know what, it's not just family. There's singles, there's couples, there's older people travelling.
Yeah.
And because you, if you approach it with this one key thing, I'm going to be part of a community.
Yeah.
And you're open to making new friendships. What a better way to do it. It is just amazing.
Yeah. Have you noticed, Jace, over the years, as I was growing up, the campers and the travellers were the grey nomads? Have you seen that trend change now? And it's couples, young families.
100%.
Have you watched it change? Yeah.
Massive change since the big C,
COVID. Yeah.
When lots of people took their kids out of school.
Yeah.
I reckon there are more homeschoolers, this is just my own personal observation, than there have ever been. And they're travelling. They're living in their vans and they've sold up. I was listening to a story of a couple just the other day. They sold the house.
Yeah.
And they bought a couple hundred thousand dollar rig, set themselves up with two kids. They're travelling, they're debt free, and they are loving it.
Yeah.
And they actually, their lifestyle is better. Now, that's not for everyone.
Yeah.
Give it a red hot crack and just go and give it a weekend.
And as you say, ECC Park, it's all done for you.
It is.
Somewhere to stay, somewhere to shower, somewhere to go to the toilet. It's all there. And they generally you have your activities on weekends. But I'm going to put you on the spot. Apart from your Sunshine Coast parks, give me two that our listeners should be visiting somewhere in. Can be New Zealand. Have you got two that jump to mind?
There's two in New Zealand that I absolutely love.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you two per country.
Okay, of course you are.
I always overachieve.
No, overachiever. I love it.
So over in, there's All Seasons Rotorua.
Yep.
I think Rotorua is just such an amazing place.
Yep.
And All Seasons Rotorua, all year round, they've got an indoor pool. So even in the colder months, you can still get warm and feel like you're comfortable as an Australian.
Yep, yep.
Or a North Queenslander. Yep. So that one is really good. And then there's another little one just a couple hours outside of Auckland called Miranda.
Okay.
And we have spoken about Miranda. Yeah. It's a hot springs type
place. Yes, yes.
And it's just such a quaint little place to go for a weekend getaway outside of the hustle and bustle of Auckland.
Yeah.
Amazing park.
Two there. Give us two in Aussie.
Okay, Aussie. I'll leave mine alone.
Yeah.
I'll leave mine alone.
Yeah.
No, look, so I think if we go down to South Australia and we go to the boys that run the sheep station.
Oh.
So, and that's just, that is next level.
Yeah.
Amazing. And then probably, look, we've done South Australia. If I was coming up through Victoria, I'm really probably going to say out at Mildura.
Mildura.
Apex Beach, Mildura.
Okay.
Lovely, on the Murray River.
Yeah.
Lots of river fishing, river boats. And it is, again, just a lovely park. So that would be my two picks.
There you go. Ask for two, I get four. That's okay. So people listening, where can people check out all the parks?
So look, all they've got to do is go to eccparks.com.au, follow the links, and go and have a look at our parks. Press the book now. Make a booking or look for the phone number. Give the girls a call.
Yeah, say
hello. The guys and girls in the office, they want to hear from you and they want to be part of your experience, part of your holiday.
Yeah.
Let them do it.
Yeah.
Make the call.
Yeah, good on you, Jase. It's been a pleasure, mate. Till next time.
Thanks, Scotty.
Let's go. Now, don't forget to head over to the Everything Caravan and Camping podcast page, everythingcaravancamping.com.au. Sign up to the newsletter for your chance to win a $50 voucher to spend on the ECC Marketplace. To catch up on all of our ECC episodes, you go to where you get your podcasts, or you can head over to everythingcaravancamping.com.au. Well, that's us for another week. And don't forget, we want to hear from you. We'd love to get you on the show with us. So if you're planning a trip, if you're out on a trip as we speak and you're listening to this podcast, or if you've got any question to do with anything we've spoken about, and if we haven't spoken about it and you want to know about it, make sure you send us an email, podcast@everythingcaravancamping.com.au. Be safe out on the roads. See you next time.
Come on. Let's go. They've got everything. Everything caravan and camping. Let's go. They've got everything.